Like to begin this morning in the 12th chapter of John, and we probably, next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, so we will maybe pick, and then it's going to be the revival after that, so we may pick up again on our little series on Because of Love. It'll maybe be 2 or 3 weeks. We may revisit that. This morning I've written on the board the subject, message the Lord had put on my heart, the triumphal entry of Jesus. As was mentioned earlier, this is what the world calls Palm Sunday. And I know sometimes these stories that are in the scripture may get passed over just a little bit. Felt inspired to share some this morning, so we'll begin in the 12th chapter of John, beginning with the first verse. Said then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now this took place a week before Jesus rose from the dead. So this took place just a few days before Jesus was arrested, before he was crucified. So this is really setting the stage for the last week of life. Jesus had a ministry of approximately 3.5 years. He had had a lot of disappointments in his ministry. His family, some of his family, his brothers at the time, he had some brothers that did not accept that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. He had experienced rejection, and we know within just a few days, his disciples would even reject him and walk far away from him. He had been ridiculed. He had not been accepted by his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was speaking of the Jewish people as a nation. Well, Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And he went to the house of Lazarus, which he had raised from the dead. One historian said, it's interpretation, all right? One historian in his study believed that it was probably about 2 months after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. It was still a new enough event that it was the talk of Jerusalem. People had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and there were many people that knew Lazarus, and they knew he had been dead, and they wanted to see him. And Jesus sat across the table from him. Can you imagine sitting across the table from someone that you had seen dead? Someone that I was at their funeral, I saw their body. They were in the casket, and then 2 months later, you're sitting across the table from them talking about them. You want to talk about an event. So in Jesus, he came, and 6 days before the Passover, he went to Lazarus' house, and setting the stage for not only Christ's death, but for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We find that Mary, out of a heart of gratitude for the saving power of Jesus Christ and His love that He had on her and her family, she wiped His feet, she washed His feet, and she dried it with her hair. Now, do you know some would say, well, that wasn't real appropriate. But you know, that was heart service to God. I have found myself in some situations in other countries that practices were a little different than they here in the U.S. And as I was there, and different ones were serving, and it was their cultural customs. A few people came to mind, and I thought, you know, in the U.S. I might be being criticized right now. But the Lord brought to me this story of when Mary came and others were around. It wasn't done in a corner somewhere. But that was her service. And she came as in a sign of worship to Jesus. And there were those that criticized Jesus for it. But it was a foreshadowing of this wonderful perfume that was put on, this ointment that was anointed the body of Christ. It was foreshadowing His death and His burial. When they would anoint the body with smells and the spices to help preserve it in death. And it was foreshadowing of something to come. So this laid the foundation. So let's keep reading. In the 9th verse, it said, "Much people of the Jews knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." So understand that this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead had not been done in secret. And we're not talking about just a few people. We're talking about literally, as we read on in the story, we'll see probably thousands of people had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And they came and they said, "I want to see." Have you ever... If you heard of someone being raised from the dead, would you want to see for yourself? It's like, I'm going to go. I hear there's a camp meeting, but did you hear who's going to be there? I mean, I was at this man's funeral and he died, and he's going to be at the camp meeting next month. Who wants to go? So you might go to say, yeah, I want to worship, but you know what? I want to go see Lazarus. And that is why many of the Jews came, because they wanted to not only see Jesus, I want to see this man that He raised from the dead. And because of that, they believed in Jesus Christ. Do you know this morning that Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen and believed? In other words, Jesus appeared to Thomas after the resurrection. And Jesus and Thomas wanted to see. I want to see the nail scars. I want to see evidence that You are really the Christ, that this happened to You. Jesus said, blessed are those that have believed that have not seen. But you know, this morning I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not because I have seen Him in the flesh, but I have seen His power manifested. Time after time, I have seen the Lord Jesus work miracles. Haven't you? People say, well, how do you believe in Jesus? Yes, it's not only because I read it in here. I have experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I've experienced in my life God doing something for me that I could not do for myself. I have experienced the divine healing power of Jesus Christ to the exclusion of anything else, that I would have died, except the fact that there is a God up in heaven that is still hearing prayer. He's hearing the prayers of His people, and He came down and He worked a miracle. Do you believe this morning? Do you know that this is the reason why it is still good for us to share what God has done? It's an encouragement to hear how the Lord blessed you 30 years ago. It's a blessing to hear how God helped you and healed you last week. It's still an encouragement to hear how, Brother Randy, the Lord delivered you and gave you power over cigarettes. Because there are people still coming on that are struggling, is this real or not? And to hear your stories of the convicting power of God and what He has done, there will be people that will be drawn to Christ because of your testimony of what the Lord has done in your life. So they came and they wanted to see. They wanted to see Jesus and they wanted to see Lazarus. Reading on, it said verse 12, it said on the next day. Now keep in mind, this is the last week of the life of Jesus before He died. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet Him, and they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, You will find this is recorded in all four Gospels, all right? So you can glean, if you go through and read each of the different accounts, you get a little bit more information added to the story. But when it says much people here, it wasn't just talking about a few hundred people, all right? You find when you study the story out, the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred up and moved because Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Jesus had never experienced anything in His ministry like this before. There were the thousands that Jesus fed, but this is the one time in the ministry of Christ that we find multitudes of people praising God and saying, "Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." This is the Messiah. Do you know this was like the grand finale of the ministry of Christ before His death and before His resurrection. And we say, what value does this have to us today? Because we're coming up on a time that we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I trust we remember it every day, but we especially consider and reflect upon it at this time of year. But there was a place of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem at this time. Over in the book of Matthew, it says that the people, they took their garments. And again, we're not talking about 30 people, all right? We're talking about literally probably thousands of people because it had spread across the whole city. Can you imagine Jesus coming into the city and the people just coming out in mass? There were a lot of people from the country that were coming to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage to experience the Passover. That was one of the commands of Moses, was that people go and celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. So there were thousands of people from the countryside as well that were coming into Jerusalem, and they recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And I can just picture in my mind, and I'll just share a little personal experience because it's how I can hear this story and read it. The first time I went to Malawi, Renee's dad and I went, and it's happened many times since. When you go out into a rural village, go out into a new place, you are welcomed with singing and dancing and praising. Someone is here that, and they're so happy. I remember pulling into a rural village in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, in Africa. And we're driving down a dirt road and it's kind of, we're a little nervous. We didn't know where we were going and what's going on. And pretty soon people started. You didn't think anybody was around. And as we got close to a village, pretty soon, literally probably people became pouring out of the fields. And pretty soon the vehicle was surrounded in front and behind and on the sides, and they were singing and they were dancing, and they would take they have wraps that they wear in Malawi and many African countries, and they would take their wraps and they would sweep them across the road, and the children were there cheering, and it was quite a grand affair. Do you realize that was nothing compared to the entry of the Messiah into Jerusalem? Thousands of people rejoicing, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Hosanna was a petition that people used when they came to a king and they needed something. They would say, "Hosanna." In other words, save us. Help us out. We have a problem. But in this instance, the word Hosanna was used as an expression of praise and thanksgiving. Deliverance is here. Do you remember when Jesus was born? The scripture says that a multitude of angels filled the sky. And what did they say? They were glorifying God and giving Him praise, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That was the angels in heaven. This is the time on earth that thousands of people openly and verbally acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. Wouldn't have you liked to have been there? Well, another scripture in Luke, in referencing it, says the whole multitude of disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with, do you remember what kind of voice they used? It wasn't their library voice, okay? They said they rejoiced with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, and they also were saying, giving glory to God in the highest. Do you know, if we're not careful this morning, we can fall into a pattern of quietness and silence in our acceptance of Jesus Christ. I believe. But here we find they were stirred and they were moved that this truly indeed is the Son of God. This is the one whom the prophets prophesied, and this is the one whom the poets sang of, that Jesus Christ, with the Son of God, would come and bring peace and salvation. And so they said, salvation is here. Hosanna. And they did it with a loud voice. You know, this morning as the Lord moves, and I am not in favor of mass praise. Now, what I mean by that is mass praise stirred up by a worship leader saying, okay, come on, Ethan, you need to praise. Come on, Caden, come on, get with the program. And pretty soon people are vocalizing and being stirred in their emotions to just kind of fit into this movement of emotion. But when the Lord moves on your heart and in your spirit, do you know that it is still acceptable to give God praise? It's still, He's worthy of our praise this morning. Why? Because He's the Son of God. I was dead and He raised me from the dead, and I'm talking spiritually. I was lost and I'm found. I wasn't worthy of His forgiveness, and yet He forgave me. He came looking for me. Is that not worthy of giving Him praise? You know, this morning that He is honored by praise. The Pharisees didn't like it. Because the whole city was moved. It was like, hey, we need to shut this thing down. Because they're getting the attention and not the religious institutions. Who should be the object of our praise this morning? God and Christ alone. The praise and the glory is not us. It's not who we are. Anytime a group of people begin to exalt themselves and want to be lifted up as the avenue of salvation is a false movement and a false church, and it doesn't matter if the name Church of God's on the door or not. We are here to lift up Jesus Christ and Him only, because He is the only one that can save the soul. He's the only one that can minister to those that are lost. The only one that can bind up those that are brokenhearted this morning. That's Jesus Christ. And so the people, well, on that line, the Pharisees were rebuking and telling Jesus, they said, tell your disciples to be quiet. Just tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, if they don't praise, He said, the rocks will cry out. Those of you that were at Monarch, the Lord gave me a message about 2 years ago, and I don't think I gave this illustration, but I've wondered sometimes if we ought to just bring a big old rock, a big old stone, and just set it right here. And when you're singing, and when the preaching's going forth, let's remember what that rock symbolizes. And I'm not talking about the rock Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus said, if My disciples won't praise Me, those rocks are going to cry out to the glory of God. The creation speaks, Brother Max, of the glory of God. But do you know what's even greater than the creation of this natural world? It is you and it is me that were in sin, broken and lost and addicted and undone. And Jesus Christ came in His love and His mercy, and He forgave us, and He gave us life, and He restored us. And when we can begin to exalt the Savior, do you know that that will have an effect on other people around us? It's not because we're getting into this praise and worship mentality, but it is genuine lifting up of our heart through the openness of our mouth in glory to God for what He did, that no one else could do it. So Lord, help us then not to depend on the stones and the rocks, but may we as a people remember that Jesus came in triumph, and when Jesus rose from the dead, we can triumph every day of the week. I don't have to wait till Palm Sunday to give the Lord praise, but I can give Him praise every day because He's reigning in my life as King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one. He's my healer. He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my comforter. He's my shepherd. Is He not worthy of giving God praise? And when we're discouraged, He's my encourager. When we're down, as David said, He's a lifter up of my head. When we are in grief, and we will have times of grief, He is the one that comes and He puts His spiritual arms around us, and He comforts us, and He loves us. And then there comes a time He says, all right, now let's wipe the tears away, and it's time to get up and start going again. Do you know that's the Lord that we serve this morning? We have reason to lift Him up because He is still triumphant. But this was just a little foreshadowing of the final triumph that was going to come. They took palm leaves. And this is where the palm leaves have significance. In ancient times, the palm branches symbolize goodness and victory. In the Olympics, in the early Grecian games, the victors, they would run with palm leaves. Solomon had palm branches. If those of you that are still reading there in the Old Testament there about the temple, he had palm branches engraved on the walls and the doors of the temple. It had significance of victory. Well, let's read on in verse 14. It said, Jesus, when He found a young ass or a donkey, He sat therein, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not His disciples. They didn't understand what was happening. But when Jesus was glorified, after He rose from the dead, they remembered, they that these things were written of Him, that they had done those things unto Him. This passage was a fulfillment. What happened? Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. It was a fulfillment of a prophecy that had been given 500 years before. Isn't that phenomenal? He directly referenced a prophecy in the book of Zechariah. In the 9th chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. It was a prophecy that the King was coming to Jerusalem, the Messiah. He entered Jerusalem and the people recognized this is the King. This is our Emmanuel. This is our Savior, Hosanna. He was just. The prophecy said He was just. He was righteous. Do you know that righteousness this morning, it truly only comes from the presence of Christ in our life? Our righteousness is not worth anything. We can say, well, I do this and I do that and I give and I pray and I've got my doctrine down to a T and I don't go here and I'm not like this righteous man over here. And that self-righteousness. Do you know that the only righteousness that has merit before God this morning is that which comes from the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is just and He is righteous. And He said, having salvation. That was the prophecy. Remember when Jesus was born and the angel said, she shall bring forth a son and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus alone is the one that can save from sin. Isn't that the one that we ought to still praise today? You can go find churches. You can go find a myriad of doctrines and practices and standards. But it is in Jesus Christ alone that we find salvation, because it's only what He can do. He came lowly and meek. He came not lifting Himself up. He came recognizing that every good thing cometh from God. Do you know what our world is being motivated by today? To a large extent, it's pride. It's wanting recognition, greater education, greater wealth, greater acknowledgement of people around us. I would that we learn from the example of our Lord this morning. He came riding in on a donkey. Now, is that majestic or not? I mean, this wasn't some white steed with silver buckles and all the glitter and a gold saddle. He came riding in on a donkey. Now, I've ridden a burro before. I guess it's the same thing. I've ridden one a couple times. And you know, it was glamorous because it was so unglamorous. Jesus did not come riding in with splendor, but He was meek and lowly. I want to encourage all of us this morning, be careful about the pride of this world. Be careful about the wealth and the pride and recognition of the world. Lord, help us to follow the example of Jesus Christ, who became as a servant. He humbled Himself and became of no reputation. What are you striving for this morning? What are we striving for? I want people to know what I'm doing. I want people to recognize what I've learned. I want people to recognize my authority or my wealth. Or I want them to know how many degrees and how many the alphabet soup I can put behind my name. I want them to know the position I have. I want them to know how many people work for me so they can know that you're here and I'm here. I want people to know those things. Do you know that's what's motivating our world? Young people and children, there is no greater satisfaction in life than living a life of humble humility before Jesus Christ and experiencing that true resurrection that comes in life because of His saving grace. So Jesus came in, and since this is what we're Palm Sunday today, we're not going to carry this one over into the depth that we'll look at Wednesday, all right? So if you can give me just a little more time this morning. But He came in riding on the back of a donkey. And you know what I found? Those of you, and I won't ask for a show of hands, who's made it? Well, I'll just ask. You don't have to raise your hand. Have you made it through Deuteronomy yet? If you're on plan, I should say you probably ought to be through it. But I know some of the plans skipped around some. But you know what you're going to read if you haven't gotten there yet? In Deuteronomy, there were some commands given to the kings of Israel. I wasn't aware of this one. And this is what it was. Deuteronomy 7:16, it was commands to the kings of Israel. He shall not multiply horses to himself. You're not supposed to breed and raise horses. That was a command. Now, a lot of the kings broke that command. He said, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much the Lord said, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. You know where horses came from during this time? They came from Egypt. And so the Lord told the kings of Israel, don't multiply horses. That's from Egypt. I delivered you from Egypt. I don't want you to start having commerce with the very people that I delivered you from. Because what happens when you get too closely tied and doing commerce, you find that you start worshiping their idols. You start marrying their sons and their daughters and start getting away from the solidarity and the oneness of serving the Lord God. And so He told them, don't multiply horses. There's another reason. As you multiply horses during these times of the kings, what do you think you'd start to do? Well, I've got 20,000 horses, and they did. I've got a great cavalry, right? I have a big army. And what else do you do when you have lots of horses? It's time to expand the empire. God gave to them the land that He wanted them possessed. He did not want them to go out and conquer Egypt. He wanted to be their God in Israel. Because they would start getting scattered then. Some going this direction with their horses and some going that direction. Do you see the practical value of not breeding horses? For those of you that have horses, it's all right now. But here it wasn't. There was a reason the Lord said it. There was a reason. Do you know the Lord does not want His people to be scattered today? He wants His people to come together. And I'm not talking about everybody moving to Springfield or to Oklahoma or to Oregon. That's not what I'm talking about. But the Lord wants us to be in fellowship with one another. The Lord doesn't want His people to be scattered out in all of the sects and all of with all the different creeds that are in the religious world. He wants us to come together and be united and one. That there are a people that the Lord can say, these are some of my people right here. He doesn't just have to say, well, that's one of mine and over there and that's one of mine. The Lord wants His people to be together. And that was His desire here. That's why He said, don't multiply horses. So, why did all that come out now this morning? Because Jesus did not come riding in on a horse. He came riding in on a donkey. But do you know this wasn't just any donkey? And I checked with Evan before service because I wanted to verify about donkeys, all right? But this was a donkey's colt. And in the other Gospels, it said no man had tamed him. Can you imagine? He told His disciples, go down here and you're going to find this donkey, this colt of a donkey. Go tell the owner that the Lord Master hath need of him. And they went and they brought a donkey's colt that had never been ridden, had never been trained, and Jesus sat on the back of that donkey and rode peaceably into Jerusalem with thousands of people yelling and hollering and waving their garments and their palm leaves. And Jesus was still at peace, and that donkey was still at peace. Now my question to you this morning is that normal? Is that natural? You know, the Lord blessed me as I was meditating. I thought, do you know what? Normally speaking, I would think that old donkey's colt would be stubborn and resisting and would be shying away from all the activity. But when Jesus arrived and got on the back of that donkey's colt, it changed the nature of that donkey. Oh, I don't know how many donkeys we have in this congregation, but I'll tell you what. When you open up your heart and allow Jesus Christ to come into your life, it will transform your spirit. I was one of those donkeys. I'm not calling you names this morning. Do you know this morning I was so blessed because I thought about where would I be today if Jesus Christ had not come in and taken up His abode in my life? Stubborn, resistant, shying away from being what God wanted me to be. Didn't you know this morning we all have different personality traits, and that's the way God made it. But do you know the Lord can tame our spirits and He can temper us? If you have a lion spirit or you have the spirit of a serpent or a spirit of a fox or a spirit of a child, when we allow Jesus Christ to come in our life, so is the beautiful picture painted in Isaiah when the lion would lay down with the lamb. That wasn't talking about a millennial reign. It was talking about us right here. That some of you, before you were saved, you were fierce and you would get angry and mad and uncontrolled. And some of you would pout in the corner. And some of you would have a spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness, and you couldn't get along. But when Jesus Christ came in and we opened up our heart, it tamed our spirit that we could come together in fellowship with different personalities because of the presence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, when I think about Jesus riding in on that untamed donkey's colt, thank God it changed its spirit. Is there significance for us today? I say in the Lord, there is significance for us this morning. Thank the Lord for that. Keep in mind, and we're going to close shortly, but here, and I'll try to make that not just a preacher shortly. Just give me a few more minutes. But this same crowd that was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, do you remember what the crowds were crying for less than probably 5 days later? Crucify. Where were the thousands? Where were the hundreds? Where were the 12? that were saying, no, no, this man is innocent. And yet we find in a crowd, some just get stirred and moved with the emotion of the group. And in a few days later, some that were crying out, Hosanna, were probably the same ones that were saying, crucify him. Question to you this morning is, what will you cry out? We come today, we come Wednesday, will we reflect on the death of Christ? We'll come Sunday when we reflect on the resurrection and we can be positive and believe in the living Lord. But what will you cry Monday when you're faced with temptation? What will you say when someone doesn't treat you right and you're sitting there thinking, what in the world? Have you had times like that? Will we still be saying, the Lord still lives? You know what? Leave everyone else with the Lord, but Lord, I want to be there still giving you praise. I want to still be there knowing that you are have triumph in my life. Let's not be fickle this morning. Let's let our devotion to God be in the good times and in the bad times. In closing, we won't take the time to read it all, but I'm just going to reference it. We find in Revelation 5, that they were gathered around the throne of God and they were weeping because they said, no man is worthy to open the book, to break the seals. No man is worthy. And he said, one of the elders said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. You know what those seven seals were? It was the full mystery of the plan of salvation. The Old Testament was not the full plan of God. And it was when Jesus came and died on the cross that the fullness of the plan of salvation was opened up before mankind, that you and I could experience the salvation of our soul. And he said, don't weep any longer. Jesus has triumphed. And then we turn to another chapter there in Revelation, two chapters later in the seventh chapter, and this is where we'll conclude. He saw a vision of a great multitude around the throne of God, which no man could number, of every nation and kindred and tongue. And they stood before the throne, and it said they were clothed with white robes. And you remember what they have in their hands? What'd they have in their hands? Palms. This is significant. It's symbolic of the victory of Jesus Christ. They were around the throne of God with palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice. That almost sounds familiar too, doesn't it? And they said, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb. And he looked on him and he said, I'm a little confused. He said, who are these people? And he said, you know who they are. He said, these are they that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God this morning that there are still a multitude of people who are giving God praise because their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This morning, if you have not experienced that triumphal entry of Jesus into your life, I want you to know that Jesus will make a difference. You can go from defeat to victory. You can go from loneliness and brokenness to restoration. You can go from hopelessness to hope because of the power of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that few moments that the world recognized there at Jerusalem that Jesus was the Messiah. But I am thankful today that we can have victory and triumph in our life because of Jesus Christ. Thank you all for your time and attention this morning.